fighting for America.
Our officials are saying that it was a Russian surface-to-air missile that allegedly brought down the Malaysian flight.
The Ukrainians will be pointing the finger at Russia. Russia will point the finger back at Ukraine.
Fighting for Idaho.
If it's publicly available information, why'd you ask the IRS for it, and why'd you have to meet with Lois Lerner to get it?
I cannot disclose any specifics about the investigation.
Your boss, the Attorney General, is a bad witness. Please don't be a bad witness.
Fighting for you.
One way or the other, we're going to have to deal with the consequences of the Federal Reserve artificially propping up our economy while it has tried to help this administration limp through its poor economic policy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. We've heard the ads concerning the Boulder White Cloud National Monument. Should it happen? Will it happen? We're talking almost 600,000 acres in central Idaho. Joining us now to discuss is Bob Hayes, the former executive director of the Sawtooth Society, who lives in Stanley. Mr. Hayes, thank you for joining us here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Kevin, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, you've written some editorials. You're very active in this movement. Can you give us some background on what's going on for those of us that might have missed your editorial? We might listen to the ads, but we don't really know what's really going on.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. I wrote several weeks ago that environmental activists are urging President Obama to designate, with a swipe of his pen and little public input or congressional involvement for that matter, nearly 600,000 acres in central Idaho as the Boulder White Cloud National Monument. As proposed, the monument would include lands both east of the East Fork of the Salmon River and west of the East Fork of the Salmon River in an area that currently encompasses the existing Sawtooth National Recreation Area.
And what's the issue with that, sir?
Well, the issue is, from our perspective, the monument proposed monument is unnecessary to provide protection for the areas which are already protected, particularly that area that includes the Sawtooth National Recreation Area. You may know it has its own organic legislation, Public Law 92-400, that was created that created the area in 1972. And it remains today an Idaho icon and a national crown jewel, for that matter. And even the area east of the East Fork is well protected by the agencies that run it. Beyond that, our big problem is the process for establishing a national monument. The president is authorized under the Antiquities Act of 1906 to unilaterally declare national monuments. Now, originally the idea was to declare those with scientific and historical interest and to be small in size, but over the years that has been expanded to include large tracts of land. For example, in Utah, the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument that was established by President Clinton in the waning hours of his first term, and it didn't even require a consultation with the public or with members of Congress. It simply happened overnight. We're concerned that that might happen here, and if it does, it would disenfranchise stakeholders, and by stakeholders I mean the people who live, work, and recreate in the area. And I think it would also upset the informal but very successful agreement that most users have for sharing the resource. And I guess lastly is that if you try to combine those two areas that I talked about into a single Boulder White Cloud National Monument, it would cause tremendous confusion, conflict, and would invite litigation.
Well, and I know you're not, this isn't your group, but you all have the same interest. Let's take a listen to the ad that has been playing here on 580KIDO.
The Boulder White Cloud Mountains are an Idaho treasure that have been enjoyed by hikers, mountain bikers, snowmobilers, four-wheelers, hunters, campers, and more for generations. And for generations, the Boulder White Clouds have been well managed and protected by the Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, and the State of Idaho. Because of the protections already in place and because these entities do an excellent job, the Boulder White Clouds are the same pristine mountains we have always known. Now, President Obama is considering designating the Boulder White Clouds a national monument, a move that could drastically change how they're managed and who has access to them. Before this happens, we, the people of Idaho, need to be heard. Washington must know how we would like to see these mountains managed. Learn more about the National Monument process, how the boulders are currently managed and protected, and how you can be involved at OurBoulderWhiteClouds.com. They're your Boulder White Clouds, and your opinion matters. OurBoulderWhiteClouds.com.
Your thoughts?
Well, I think that the message in that ad by the Idaho Recreation Council is right on target. We work closely with them, as we do in our coalition with the Idaho Farm Bureau and the Idaho Cattle Association. We also work closely with the Sawtooth Society in trying to deal with this issue. Our organization, which is called Your Boulder White Clouds, is a grassroots organization headquartered in Custer County, right at the heart of the monument proposal. And we have an online petition which your listeners or any Idaho, in fact anyone at all, can log on to by going to www.yourboulderwhiteclouds.org. It's yourboulderwhiteclouds.org, and then signing the online petition to President Obama asking him not to use the Antiquities Act of 1906 to declare a monument. That, in our judgment, is the most direct and effective way of influencing this process. Idahoans must be heard, otherwise we're going to be left out in the cold.
Let's go over parts of your editorial here. Especially troubling, proponents have failed to answer two fundamental questions. First, what are the specific threats to the area that require protection? Second, which of these threats cannot be protected against under existing state laws and regulations? Can you expand on that?
Well, yes. I mean, those have been the two questions we have asked the monument proponents for over a year. The interesting part here, Kevin, is that Idahoans first learned about this proposal rather through a innocuous news story that appeared in April of last year. It was the first we had heard of it. And it was clear that the Idaho Conservation League and the Wilderness Society and their financiers in Washington, D.C., the Pew Environmental Trust, hoped to get President Obama to declare a monument before the rest of us were wiser. And fortunately, the Sawtooth Society in particular was the first to tumble to this effort on the part of environmental activists, and they began to ask some very difficult questions, including the two that you just posed. Fast forward a year, the proponents of the monument still have yet to answer those two questions, and the reason they can't answer them is because the answer to both questions is no. A monument cannot provide protections that are not already available under existing laws and regulations, and two, there are no threats to the area at present, and they're unlikely to be in the future. The areas are really well managed, as the ads that you just played highlight.
How much of a difference would it mean to that area if all of a sudden the feds take over?
Well, that is the part of the problem. I mean, clearly, this effort on the part of the Idaho Conservation League and the Wilderness Society and Pew is designed to exclude and restrict some of the existing uses, whether they be motorized use or whether it be grazing or whether it be mountain biking or horseback riding. There are a series of YouTubes available right now that our organization has helped produce, along with the Farm Bureau and Idaho Cattle Association, which interviews outfitters and guides, ranchers, motorized recreationists, and others, and they express their concern about the possibility, in fact, the likelihood of being shut out from being able to use these areas in the future because these environmental activists want to have the land their way at the exclusion of the way that other Idahoans would like to use the land.
No, it's interesting when you think about just the overall land issue here in the state, the government owning 63% of the state land.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it's even more extensive than that in Custer County, where most of the proposed monument is. 94% of Custer County is government-owned between the federal government and the state government. That means no taxes are being paid. And here we've got some environmental activists who want to create a monument which they allege will result in lots more tourism to the area, a lot more visitation to the area, a dubious proposition, but possible. Think of the impact that that's going to have on Custer County's ability to provide emergency services, to provide law enforcement services. This is a county that is starved for revenue, and here you have the possibility of large numbers of people coming into the area and no revenue available to help offset those costs.
Do you think anybody, though, in the feds really cares because it gives them a touchy-feely story to their base that they're, quote-unquote, protecting the lands from its own people?
Kevin, that is a real concern. I mean, let's face it. When somebody says, gee, let's make this area a national monument, there is a certain curb appeal to that. And if people don't think beyond that sort of bumper sticker mentality, they can be led to believe that this is a wonderful thing. If you dig a little deeper, and that's what our organization is attempting to do, and I know the Idaho Recreation Council is as well, you dig a little deeper, you find out this is a very insidious deal. And it has very little benefit, and it has tremendous risks. And our aim here is to persuade the president not to succumb to the request of the environmental activists. He has the right to declare a national monument, but just because he can doesn't mean he should. And we're urging Idahoans to get on that yourboulderwhiteclouds.org website and sign the petition and send that to President Obama and give him that message. It's the only way we can think of to prevent this monument from actually occurring.
Mr. Hayes, please stand by. More coming up next. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Is it your land? Is it our land? Is it the president's land? Bob Hayes with us, former executive director of the Sawtooth Society, living in Stanley, Idaho. Talking about this proposal here for another national monument, this time in the Boulder-White Cloud region. Bob, good to have you back. What about our congressional folks? What have they said?
Well, Kevin, our congressional delegation is united in their opposition to the proposed monument, as is Governor Otter. And I suspect that you're going to hear more from them shortly on this subject. In addition to that, the Idaho Association of Commissioners and Clerks. So these are the elected officials in Idaho's 44 counties. Last month, passed a resolution that expressed their concern about the president's use of the Antiquities Act to designate national monuments such as the Boulder-White Clouds in the state of Idaho. And just last week, the Idaho Department of, or the Idaho Fish and Game Commission, issued a formal statement opposing the monument. So, the opposition to the monument, the opposition movement to the monument is growing. We need it to grow faster because we have no idea when and if the president might choose to declare a national monument. If he could take a pass on this, and that's what we're urging him to do, but it's also possible that this afternoon he could sign a declaration, or he could do so in the last hours of his term in office.
If he's having a bad day, he could do it.
It's important for people to get behind our effort, I think.
Right. If he's having a bad day, he could do it.
If he's having a bad day, he could do it. The other thing I guess I would mention is that this isn't just related exclusively to the Boulder White Clouds area. There's already a proposal on the table, although lesser known, about making the Mesa Falls area in the Island Park region of eastern Idaho a national monument. And there has been talk about other areas as well, both in central Idaho and in northern Idaho. And I think Idahoans ought to be very, very concerned that if the Idaho Conservation League and the Wilderness Society and the Pew Organization out of Washington, D.C. are successful in jamming a Boulder White Clouds monument down our throat, that will simply embolden them to try to get monument designations in these other areas before President Obama leaves office.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Steve at 580KIDO. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to hear you this morning. In the case of Custer County, they're already in poverty, and this action would almost guarantee further poverty and fewer opportunities for employment. The other thing that bothers me, and I hope you agree, is that this movement to take away designation from the local jurisdiction to a centralization of the federal government is a widespread problem that we've got to fight. And I'm pleased to hear that you're organizing several groups across the state.
All right, Steve, thank you for the call. Bob, your thoughts?
Well, Steve, we agree with you completely. We do want to get more people involved. That of course is our objective. And I can understand why you're a bit concerned that if you show opposition that might trigger the Obama administration's desire to make this a monument. But I think we've thought about that, and from our perspective, if you don't mount an effective opposition, then you're going to guarantee that we will have a Boulder White Clouds National Monument in our future. And it's only by organizing and implementing an effective and constructive and thoughtful opposition effort that we can possibly convince him that this is not the place to make a national monument. He has some other choices elsewhere in the United States, and some of them may be more appropriate than others for national monument designation, but certainly the Boulder White Clouds is not one of those, and we need to impress that upon him. And the best way, as I said, to do that is to sign the petition by logging on to www.yourboulderwhiteclouds.org.
How concerned are you about this happening, being a realist? Obviously, you want people to stop this. I don't know how much influence Idaho has with the one man that can say yay or nay, and that would be President Obama.
Kevin, that's an excellent point. You're right. We are a red state. He owes us nothing. On the other hand, he has about, we think, 15 other choices, and some of them are less controversial than others. We are hopeful that if we can put up a united front that includes our elected officials at the county, state, and federal level, and combine that with an outpouring of grassroots support from citizens, primarily through this petition process, that we could convince him that Idahoans really do not want this. Idahoans of all political stripes, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. And that is our best hope. If we fail to do that, then he has no incentive not to make the Boulder White Clouds a national monument.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Liberal Steve. Maybe he has some sway with the president at 580KIDO. Hello, Liberal Steve.
No, I don't have any sway with the president. I'm against the feds coming in and locking that up. And one of the main reasons that I'm against it is because every time they come up to vote on a budget, every quarter, every year, and they run out of money for a while, they shut all the federal parks down and federal monuments. You can't get in. You can't do nothing. So I'm totally against the feds getting involved in it. That's all I want to say. I did want to mention, though, that the gentleman that called before, it didn't help the cause to slam the president of the United States of America as far as what he does and what he doesn't do and stuff. He's the president. His table is full from midnight till morning, from morning till midnight.
Playing and golf and pool and having a good time, yeah.
Right. Yeah, with the guy that's suing him. So to slam
We're not talking about the guy that sues him.
Yeah, well, to slam the president was a dumb thing to do because now you have people jumping off the boat that was on the boat with you just because of that. If you can't...
So we should eat crumb cakes and croupons and be good?
You could be polite.
I don't think he was
that polite. He has a lot of decisions to make, and as far as making a decision against and for it because of people that want it not to happen is a crazy thing to say. I'm just saying.
I'm glad you weren't at Valley Forge. All right, Bob Hayes, one more time for people that would like to save Idaho.
Well, I guess in closing, Kevin, I would just urge your listeners to be concerned about this potential federal overreach and the really undemocratic process that the environmental activists are attempting to foist on Idahoans. It isn't enough just to complain about this process. They have to do something about it. And it is a very simple process to go online and sign this petition. It takes about a minute, and it can be very, very effective. So I would urge people, after they finish listening to your show, to get on their computers and type in yourboulderwhitclouds.org and sign the petition and be counted among those Idahoans who just say no.
All right, Bob, we appreciate it. One more time for the website.
It is www.yourboulderwhiteclouds.org, O-R-G. And I want to thank you, Kevin, for your interest. I really appreciate it.
Well, Bob, we'd love to have you back.
Well, invite me anytime.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. There you have it. Bob Hayes joining us. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
Good morning. Thank you for listening. It is the Friday edition of the Manly Man segment of the Kevin Miller Show, 580KIDO, of Town Square Media, insert anything else. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, I've got something for you today.
Okay.
Something captivating, something compelling, something unique.
I'm ready.
All right. Now, a lot of folks have seen me every year. I try to grow a beard, and every year it pretty much fails miserably. And this year I've been about as successful as I can be. It's very frustrating. You know, 46 years on God's green earth, and, you know, you just can't even get close to the Duck Dynasty guys.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why do you pick the heat of summer to do it in?
I don't know. Just, you know, usually it just drives me crazy even when I have a goatee, mm-hmm. but I can't stand anything, and for some reason it just doesn't seem to bother me.
Huh.
I just sit back and go, whatever.
Heat of summer, sweaty, sticky, itchy. Oh,
not
good to me, but you know, who am I? I can't grow one either.
So I'm sitting there hanging out at the Maverick. Now, you know the Maverick is the epicenter of Star. It's not really the Star Cafe. It's not the Mexican restaurant. It's not Toontown. So this morning about, 4:10, 4:15, I'm in the Maverick talking to the young proprietor of the overnight shift there, and he said, "Hey, man." And I go, "Yes." He goes, "Beard, yeah, looking good, man." And quite frankly, I've had a lot of men come up to me and tell me they enjoy my attempt at a beard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to imply or infer anything with this gentleman. He's a manly man. He goes, "You know, I was in a thing called the Beard Club once. And I go, the Beard Club? He goes, yeah, the Beard Club. And I said, was that like the Fight Club? He goes, no, we didn't fight, but we would go out and get drunk and talk about beards. And he goes, I just got tired of that. I go, really? So they would go to a bar. You'd have a
meeting.
Hard
to imagine you get tired of that.
You'd have a meeting, and you'd talk about beards. So I'm trying to think, yeah, man, that's a little good. Oh, you got a little gray there. Ooh. So I've never heard of a beard club before.
Hmm. I have, but I don't really want to talk about it.
All right.
No, okay. I mean, no, not that kind of beard club. But the one I'm thinking of has to do with a whole different section of society. But go ahead.
Right. Your cover, if you will.
I guess. Yes. That's more what I was thinking of. At first, I thought when you said they were talking about a beard club, I thought maybe that's what he was talking about.
No, he was talking about, maybe he was, and I thought he was talking about beards. He goes, yeah, we just go talk about beards. And I go, I don't feel so bad just sitting there watching DirecTV nonstop all the time.
No, you could be a member of the Beard Club.
Yes. Yeah, so there, you know, what do you do? Well, I'm a member of the Optimist, the Kiwanis. Well, I'm a member of the Beard Club. Really?
What's kind of funny is I know we're safe because I'm sure he's sound asleep, probably don't even go to bed till 4 o'clock in the morning. But I do know there's one of our little goobers around here that is growing a beard. Have you seen him? The one that goes by an initial and a number for a name?
Yes.
He's got this wicked little beard that kind of looks evil in a way.
Well, I think he'll be follically challenged like Kevin Miller has been. It's no fun when you're trying to grow a beard and, you know, the patches are missing.
He can grow one, but he's got it shaved and, you know, groomed out to where it's got, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's the beard that the devil has.
You're saying he's the devil?
No, I'm just saying that his beard is the same pattern that the devil, which I've seen in movies, so I'm sure this must be true.
You know the devil.
Well, I've seen it in movies, Kevin.
Okay.
And there's been times where I've worked for the devil, but I'm just saying in the past.
Oh, huh? I'm just going to let that one go. I'm so tempted to ask a hard-hitting follow-up question on that.
No, it was, well, you can ask a question. It was at another station. It wasn't here.
Well, so you're not working for the devil now?
No.
All right.
No, but I'm just saying that it's cut like that. And so a relative of his came and said, what do you think of his beard? So I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. I had to.
He's the devil.
He's sitting there with his beard that looks like the devil's beard. And I'm checking for a pointy tail. Didn't have it. And then here's his father asking me what I think of it, and I didn't know how to answer.
What'd you do?
I just said, it looks very hairy. And then I ran. And then I ran.
I don't really enjoy beards on people.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't think that beards really add much.
No, some people, you know, hard to say. Like, I've seen Larry Gebert without his mustache once.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, he's always had that mustache.
I just, you know, it's just interesting, but you know, if you can pull it off, great.
Yeah, so you, the Maverick, and the beard, that is compelling. That's great.
Well, that, and you know, you're always wanting to know about my personal life, mm-hmm. So I made a deal with my wife.
What's that?
Because I said to her, you know, she doesn't like it when I'm clean-shaven, pale-faced Kevin.
Now, really? She likes you with a beard, then.
She likes me with the goatee.
Uh-huh.
And look, I had, I think, one of the best goatees ever. The problem was I was turning into Mr. Gray. And you know what they say?
What do they say? I don't know.
You know, it's no fun for Mr. Gray.
Oh.
So I for some reason, you know, I'm not a very vain person. You know, if I had my way, I'd shave my head off and I'd have no facial hair. And, you know, I'd look like a cue ball.
Yeah, because if you shaved your head off.
You remember that.
You would have. Well, no, I've never seen you with your head shaved off. I've seen you with your hair shaved off.
Yeah. You know what I was about.
I'm just taking it literally. I'm sorry.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That is scary at 580 KIDO. But, you know, if I had my way, I'd just shave my head, I'd shave my face, and I'd be fine. But, you know, so I said to her, I said, look, if I'm going to do this, then I got to get the Grecian formula. I got to get the Just for Men.
And so are you doing that?
And I, of course, and I don't sit there and remember the last time I did this, and everybody can tell it was on the Getting Idaho Back to Work poster because I got the wrong hair color, so my hair is like reddish blonde or whatever. And then all of a sudden I had like the black, jet black goatee. I just really couldn't pull it off. So This time around, it's very similar, but I've become one of those people that I really didn't appreciate, dye in the hair, da 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 da. But I'm not an old man wanting to be young. I'm an old man that's an old man, and I may be only 46, but you have to admit I'm probably more like 70 in my thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah, I am an old soul.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. So old soul, what's your thoughts on the jetliner being shot down over Syria?
I was sitting there watching, and it was interesting watching the coverage between ABC and NBC, where ABC said, yep, it was a missile, and NBC goes, well, all indications are that it was a missile. And then you have the Ukrainian rebellious rebels that allegedly did this. Hey, we shot down another plane. And this is the scary part. Apparently, not a lot of planes have been flying over there for that very reason, this whole area. And now Delta announced that they're not going to fly over there. Here it is. Remember how World War I started, where one guy assassinated somebody, and it just led to something? I mean, sooner or later, whether it's in Israel with Gaza going on, whether it's this plane going down, and I hope to God I'm wrong, we're just going to get into something that we can't get out of, whether it's with the Chinese or the Russians. That's the big fear, because nobody is backing down. And maybe they don't fear us. One could arguably, justifiably say it's the administration, Dave Burnett, because they don't fear us, and we show there's no consequences for these actions.
Well, I will say this, and I know there'll be people, the emails will start piling in here momentarily. I heard people yesterday going, why isn't the president talking about this? We don't have all the answers yet. I don't think it's time for the president to come out and make some sort of, slam the, not that he would, but, slamming the fist on the table and, until you have the information, you can't just go out accusing people. Was it Russia? Was it the Syrian rebels? Was it Syria? We don't know yet. In fact, I was amazed how quickly the State Department came out with information saying it was a missile. I mean, it was fast that they started saying that.
Well, I was watching it on one of the news channels where they said that we have the capability that if it were a missile, we would know instantaneously because of our NSA or whatever stuff. Well,
just because, which is good. I'm glad we do know that. But the information released to the media that fast is like, wow. And then just the whole thing, watching it unfold, which, again, so many bad things have happened, and we watch them unfold now on TV in front of us. It's kind of like, oh, look at that. They shot down a jetliner. Instead of the, oh, my God, they shot down a jetliner, you begin to get callous toward it.
Right.
And then think about the coverage. We started getting pictures immediately out of a what we deem a third world country. We started getting pictures, and then we got video, and then, to the fact that it was coming so quickly, one of the news outlets I was watching, they released some footage that actually showed some body parts, and then they came back to apologize that they let that go unedited.
How does that happen?
They just take the raw feed and dump it on there, and then somebody goes, oh, wait, there's a leg. That's not good.
Because everybody wants to be first.
Everybody wants to be first. But we start watching it as it unfolds, and sometimes, the atrocity that takes place, that we just get numb to it.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah.
But we watch it more like a reality show than we do as a horrific life event that has just affected the lives and families of 300 people.
Yeah, I back to the numbness, and I don't know how we can combat it, because I think it's a challenge for talk radio in general, whether it's 580KIDO or others. You have everybody is into, well, this is going on, this is going on, I want to feel good. No one wants to go to work depressed. No one wants to go to work down, but these are big stories. Senator Crapo, when we had him on yesterday, I mean, did you hear the anxiety in his voice? And maybe you didn't, because you're doing 27 million different things while you're working, but Dave, it was, this idea, and Dave Petzl and I go back and forth on this. He thinks there's no big deal, but we're printing money.
Yeah, we're just making it up.
And the stock market's going crazy. Something's not right. And I go, are we going to pay back? And Dave will go, no, we don't have any thoughts of paying it back. And I'm going, well, then what's going to happen? Sooner or later, and we saw this in 08 and 09, I mean, remember, look, there are not a lot of high-paying jobs, but at least people are hiring. You remember driving down Fairview or Overland, and nobody was hiring, not even the fast food places. And remember, this was an area that in 07, I believe, that the unemployment rate was, what, 2%?
Yeah. Well, they were fast food places were offering, you know, $8-9 an hour to go sling hamburgers.
Yeah. I don't know if you sling them anymore. Do you just process them?
I have no idea.
I was looking into a second career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have that going on. Obviously, the situation in Gaza is not going over well at either, you know, with Israel. And, you know, what do you do?
The world is groaning, Kevin Miller. I mean, I was thinking about it on the way this morning. Sometimes I like to listen to some of the old way of listening to radio as it skips in from other markets. I was listening to a talk station out of L.A. on my way in this morning.
I know which one.
And, you know, you start listening to all the events going on, and I don't know if it's because, you know, I can sit here in my chair and watch a jet as it goes down in Syria, and it's also instantaneous, but it just seems like there's so many bad things happening in the world right now. My head is swimming. My head is absolutely swimming when I lay down, and I'm just thinking, oh, my goodness, am I safe where I live?
Governor Otter says you're safe.
Well, you know, you just...
By the
way, wonder.
Governor Otter in rare campaign mode was out there at the Buckaroo breakfast and was really working him over the other night at Cure Night at the Snake River Stampede.
Okay. It's that time of year.
Nobody can outwork that guy. Whether you agree with him or not, I have yet to see anybody come close to outworking him.
Well, I mean, that is part of the success that Governor Otter has had, is that he has a charisma and a charm about him.
Much like you.
Yeah, hardly. But, you know, there's a charisma and a charm some people have. You know, some people just have that. Others of us, you know, it's like, get out of here. Get off the grass.
Other of us, we just do the manly man segment.
Exactly. And that's where we are. Yeah, but it is a Friday morning. Kevin, that traffic now as you're coming at
the Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Quickly to... a young lady that emailed us from the loyalty program. Kevin Miller, I was raised Catholic. Bad decision on their part. Liberal Steve needs to listen to Liberal Hillary when she says it's patriotic to criticize the administration, referring to George Bush. And Steve, by the way, Obama promised us he would destroy this country, and he's doing it each and every day. Thanks for your vote. Glenn Beck is 100% wrong. Give a mouse a cookie. He'll want a glass of milk. Just dumb. Have a good day. Quickly now to traffic. And it is 5:59. Coming up next, our national intelligence expert, Carrie Patton, goes inside the plane being shot down by the missile, the latest in Gaza, and gosh knows what else. You don't want to miss it. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.